Well, Thanksgiving is just 4 days away. Unbelievable. Are you guys like me? It's just hard to imagine that Thanksgiving is already here. You guys feel that way? And, you know, we just got to get ready because it's coming. And so it's going to be exciting as we think just 4 days away. And I was, you know, my heart, I've just been kind of filled with gratitude just all week long and just thinking about all the things and thinking about you, about my family, and about the parents and the in-laws that God has given to me. I didn't say outlaws, I said in-laws that God has given to me. And just thankful to God for his goodness. I was thinking, you know, as in praying and just really praying quite a bit about this message this week. And I was driving out to come to church tonight, and out in the eastern sky, you could see the most beautiful rainbow. Did you guys happen to see it? It was like huge. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the kind you see that goes like this. It was like the bottom half of a huge rainbow. And it was, of course, hidden in clouds, but, you know, that's just a reminder of the wonderful Savior that we have. There are atheists that would like to deny the existence of God, but God is everywhere, and you can see that in such, you know, like the rainbow reminds us of what God says and who God says he is. I am grateful tonight that Laurel's here. That is a blessing, you know. That's an answer to prayer. And I'm very thankful to God that you're here tonight, Laurel. We prayed a lot for you here, and we're thankful that God raised you up and you've come and you're here, and thank you for that. God bless you. And God bless each of you. How many of you have Thanksgiving plans this week? Oh, everybody. Good, good. If you don't have any, go to Laurel's house. She has plenty of food. No, I'm just... But we're excited about the possibility of this week of just getting together and having fellowship and reminding ourselves of our need to be grateful. You know, in 2001, and maybe you could, is this going to work for me? There we go. All right. In 2001, Winona Ryder. How many of you ever heard of Winona Ryder, okay? In 2001, she was 30 years old. Winona Ryder went into a Saks Fifth Avenue store in Beverly Hills and stole $5,000 worth of clothing. Now, her estimated worth today is $14 million. At the time that she stole those $5,000 worth of clothes, her estimated worth was over $3 million. I think it'd be fair to say she could have paid cash for $5,000 of clothes that she stole. But why would she take what she could afford? Why is it that she would take it and she was unwilling to pay for it? I mean, could it be that no matter how much she had, that she thought she should have more without having to pay for it? But Winona Ryder is the only one. There are others who are equally as wealthy and live opulent lifestyles who've been known to go in and steal clothing and other items that they believe that they deserved to have them. Britney Spears, Courtney Love, and Lindsay Lohan are to name just a few. And I'm sure there are many men that have done the same thing as well. What is it? I think there's something within all of us, something inside of all of us here, where we are tempted to forget what we have to be grateful for. You see, we're given more than we deserve, and our human nature is tempted to believe that we deserve it, or that we've earned it, or we're just so special that we ought to have it and not have to pay for it. And you know, God doesn't look at it from that viewpoint. God gives us warnings in Scripture about what we have and the need to be grateful for what we have. I mean, how can we have these things that God has given to us and we forget about the one who gave it to us? God gives a warning in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. And here's what he says. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good, all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Can I remind you tonight that everything that we have, everything that we can enjoy in this country, everything that we enjoy even here in our church, comes because somebody else was willing to pay the price so that we can have what we have. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We enjoy so much because someone else was willing to pay for that. You know, I don't think Thanksgiving is a spiritual holiday, but it is spiritual to be thankful. I mean, have you ever had a time in your life when you failed to express your gratitude to people who have done so much for you? I mean, there have been a time in your life when you just didn't say thank you. I remember one year at Christmas. This was going to be a special Christmas like none other. I don't remember how old I was. Couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old. But I remember that it was a special, special Christmas that my mom and dad, it was my sister and myself, that my mom and dad wanted to make very special for us. Now, throughout the year, they did not give us very many things. We did not have a lot. We weren't given a lot. We didn't have a lot of money, and we grew up pretty poor. But I know that at Christmas time, mom and dad did everything they could to make that day special, because that's the only day of the year they could do that with. And this year was going to be the top of them all. I mean, my mom and dad did everything to make that day special. Now, what I didn't know as a kid that I know now, I don't know how they were able to do what they did. I mean, they got the best tree and they decorated it and put it there in the living room area. And I remember we would come in and see it, and they put all kinds of gifts under the tree. And we had this thing on Christmas that the gifts that were so big, my mom and dad would just take them out Christmas Eve and put them out around the tree. And when you came in, there was the gifts all out. There were ones yet to unwrap. And prior to all of that, I remember that my mom would make all of the special candies. And Christmas morning, they were playing Christmas carols, and they had the food out, and the food was cooking when we got up. I mean, it was the time, like the nostalgic Christmas that you think of. Everything was perfect. They had done everything they could to make it special. I remember smelling the ham cooking in the oven. Remember, as I made my way there, I could hear something in the living room as we're walking down that long hallway to get to that spot where we could see the revelation of our Christmas. I walked into that room, and there was a brand new Stingray bicycle for me. A That was one of my gifts. I mean, and my sister always wanted a dog, and so over in a box was a dog. Imagine getting a dog for Christmas. See, whenever we get a dog for Christmas? Oh, okay, well, that's good. That's good. I mean, everything, you know, it was just an open presence and everything. I mean, it was superb, except one thing. Mom and Dad forgot to get me my prized gift, a football uniform. That's what I wanted. You could have the Stingray bicycle. I would have sold it to go buy one. Now you have to remember, I was probably 4'1". I don't know why, how I could have worn one, but I wanted one so bad. And they forgot. And all day long, guess who sought about what I did not get rather than enjoy what I had? I ruined my Christmas because I was so ungrateful that I didn't get what I wanted when I had so much handed to me. And you know, I can't help but believe that sometimes as Christians, we're a lot like that with God. I mean, in our abundance of all the things that God gives to us, in all of the things that God has handed to us, we get down the molly grubs because we never get from God what we want. Or maybe we just forget to say thank you, God, for what we already have. All too often, in this great land of America, we seem to lapse into a state of ingratitude because we take for granted all the blessings and comforts we enjoy. We revert to an attitude of self-satisfaction, expecting that peace and bliss will always follow us. And it's during that time, the times when we should, with sincerity of heart, count our blessings, we fail to do so. Jason Oatman Jr. said it best in his song, Count Your Many Blessings. Here's what he said. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. The next verse says, when we look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. Count your blessings. Interesting story about the song. I won't take time to look at it. It'd be a good one to look up later on the internet or something. And go find the story, the background to that story. But perhaps you're like me. Maybe there are times when in all of the blessings that you have and the kindnesses extended to you from other people and the love and the goodness they give to each, to us, we fail to say thank you. I mean, all of us here, we came here tonight. Now, we made our way here physically. May have been in a wheelchair or a walker or a cane. Or we walked in on our own feet, but those are blessings from God. We're able to read God's word. We're able to hear a message and communicate with each other. We enjoy a building that is comfortable. We have a parking lot. Thank God that we have a parking lot because of you and because of your gifts. We have songbooks because someone was willing to take the time to invest in their ministry to write songs like Johnson Oatman wrote, Count Your Many Blessings, wrote over 5,000 hymns himself personally. You have that. You can enjoy that. We have a choir that stands each Sunday and leads us to worship God. We can be thankful for that because volunteers serve in that way. We have musicians that can play the instruments, and thank God for those who play the instruments. We have volunteers who work in other ministries that provide ways for all of us to be able to grow in our walk with God, all because of God. He's provided that for us. And as today, as I'm thinking of the things that I have to be grateful for, I'm reminded the large amount of God's grace that He gives me every day. It's considered for God. God says that His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, as we sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I'm reminded of the cross that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the whole world, including mine. I'm reminded of the fact that I'm a part of His family, not because I deserve it, but because of God's grace, He enables me to be a part of that. God has given me daily provision, and I'm thankful tonight that God has given me a Bible that I can hold in my hand. That I can read God's Word, and when I open it, that these verses that stand out to me are verses which God Himself wants to speak to my heart. I'm so thankful for that. But in the Bible, God gives us numerous verses that tells us and reminds us of the necessity of being thankful. I think it's strange that God would have to record it for us. At least I would think it's strange when I think of the magnitude of all that we have. But then when I know the human nature of most of us, we would probably never say thank you. We would probably live our life thinking we deserved it because we were born here and God's mandated that, you know, that we have this provision and we didn't choose to be here. God gave it to us. That might be the way we think, but God reminds us that we're to be thankful. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm very grateful. How about you? Amen. There are places in Scripture where God discusses it. I believe it's a human nature that sometimes ingratitude creeps in our hearts. And I don't think any of us in here tonight are on purpose trying to be disrespectful or dishonoring to God or ungrateful to God. I just think sometimes we're busy with life and doing so many things and holidays and family and all the things we're doing. Sometimes I don't think we pause to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And I think that's also true when I read in the life of those in the Bible as well as in the nations. You realize in Leviticus chapter 7 that there was a feast of thanksgiving, one of the feasts for the nation. It says in Leviticus chapter 11 in verse chapter 7, verse 11, it says this, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, he shall offer it with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour. Besides the cakes, he shall offer his offering, leavened bread, the sacrifice of thanksgiving for peace offerings. And of it shall he offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. Notice God told the nation that it's necessary that there be a feast in which they would set aside to honor God and show their gratitude. Jesus also himself commanded that we be grateful, and he demonstrated it when he was here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 35 and 36. And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitudes. We find also that God had told the nations that there were times there will be national days of thanksgiving, times of national dedications, times in which God did some significant events in the life of the nation. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 12, it says that, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places and to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the wall of dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. Paul wrote about giving gratitude as well. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, and he says there, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can I be honest with you tonight? When I read this verse, honestly, I have a hard time understanding it. I wish that I could be so spiritual to stand before you as a pastor and say, I got this one down. I don't. Did you notice what the verse says? It says, in everything give thanks. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can, in some things, give thanks. But in everything? I mean, in everything? How does that work? This means that when difficulties and struggle come in my life, I'm to give thanks as well. Generally, my human nature says it like this. When things go well, it's easy to give gratitude. When things don't go well, it's very difficult to give gratitude. But when I understand and put this to the test, God shows me this is exactly what he means. In the Psalms, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. In the Psalms, we are introduced to this thought of thanksgiving. Nathan touched on it this morning in his message when he was talking about the fact how in the Psalms we have so much about thanksgiving there, because it's recorded for us. It's an emotional response that we give to God. It's a part of what we do in our own hearts to God. And as we give praise to God, we can bless him. Tonight on my message tonight would be blessing God. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to give God a blessing back, rather than expecting him to give me a blessing? Wouldn't it be nice if somehow or another that we could say, what is it that really blesses God? I mean, what is it that, you know, God's given me so much. If God, I just want to give, I want to be a blessing to you, God. What is it that I can do? And I'm going to tell you what we can do. It's here. We can give thanks. That's a blessing to God. Now, I know that from my human experience. Because if I'm created the image of God, and we are all have that emotional element in, and that's a part of how God made us, but we do understand with that if I experience what God has made me, and I know when someone says how grateful they are for maybe something I might do for them, how they say thank you or they appreciate that. And I don't think it's wrong to say that makes me feel good that someone appreciates what I have done for them. Any more than I think it's wrong for us to give God gratitude for what He's done for us. God's pleased and blessed when we give Him thanks. Look at Psalm 100. We'll just read all the verses. Honestly, just reading the verses, and I could just say amen and we go home, it's good enough. But look at what it says here. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be what? Thankful unto Him. And bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. You know what God says? God says, if you want to bless me, there's something you want to bless me. You want to be a blessing to me? Give thanks. Give thanks. And before we leave tonight, I'm going to give us an opportunity to do that. We're going to just pause before we even start the week tonight. And we're going to give an opportunity to give thanks to God. How many of you tonight, just by an amen, would like to bless God tonight? Would you like to bless God tonight? Because we find that when we bless God with thanksgiving, it's a powerful thing that touches the heart of God. And here's some reasons why I think it's so powerful. Number one, it reflects our attitude. That's what it says here in verse number one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, for those of you who don't feel like you can sing, God can take what you sing and make it sound glorious in heaven. Make a joyful noise. Whatever that is. I mean, sing it unto the Lord. You know, sometimes we think we got to perform. You know what? God says, I don't want your performance. I want your heart. I don't want you to be someone who's out in front of everybody where everyone can look at you and say, wow, you're so good. All I want is your heart because I know that I have made you. You didn't make yourself. That's what it says. That gives us joy. That reflects, if you would, that attitude. And God says that when we consider all of this, that we're entering into His presence and showing our gratitude, it's a reflection of an attitude that is there. Verse 3 says it acknowledges others. You know, when we give thanks, we acknowledge the other person. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us. You know, the reason why that we can do what we do is because God made us. We didn't make ourselves. In America, we have this idea we're self-made people. No, we're not. We're God-made people. People have the idea that, you know, that they're so smart, and some people think they're smarter than God. Let me just tell you, God could cut off your breath like that, and you would realize how big God really is. God could put you flat on your back. And I'm not using that as a scare tactic. I'm just saying that's how big God is. And I don't want it to be that way at all. I'm not trying to get that negative thought in your mind about that. It just acknowledges that God is who God is when we give thanks. I mean, honestly, God is is all powerful. And this is a powerful thing that when we realize that we're acknowledging others as it is in verse 3, and then in verse 4, it releases the blessing. Notice, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Something I found in my relationship with God is the more grateful I am to him, the greater the joy will be in my life. The less gratitude I have with God, the less joy I'll have in my life. The psalmist shows us that. If you notice the words that are connected with joy all throughout here, I mean, having this gratitude, we see a joyful noise, we see gladness, we see singing, we see praise, we see mercies. All of these words come out as we express our gratitude to God. As we meditate and think on God's goodness, all of us realize that there is a magnitude of reasons, and I've only mentioned a few tonight, of why we should be thankful and grateful to the God that made us. God has so blessed us, and if simply saying thank you to God is a blessing, I certainly want to give that to God. You know, Thanksgiving is a time we think of football, turkey, pumpkin pie, all those kinds of things. But can we at least say thank you to God too? Now tonight, before we go, I'd like for Calvary Baptist Church to bless God. I'd like for us to do that. I want to challenge you tonight. We're going to stand in just a moment. And I'm going to, if you want to come to the altar, you can do this. Or you can do it right in your seat. Leave it totally up to you. But what I'd like for us to do tonight, and not ask God for anything, just thank God, whatever he lays on your heart to be thankful for. And thank God tonight. Bless him. Bless God tonight. And I'm going to tell you, if you do, and I do, when we leave here tonight, we'll be joy-filled people. Because there's something about giving thanks to God that fills our hearts with joy. Will you join me as we stand together and pray? Jan, if you'll come and just play a little bit of an invitation, not much, just a little bit of an invitation. We're not going to drag it out. If you want to talk to God in your seat, if you would like to come and pray here and talk to God here at the altar, I'm going to pray first. And then I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'll get quiet. You can do whatever God's speaking to your heart about. Let's bless God tonight.